This is Capital Correspondent filling in for Carmen Russell Sluchansky. I'm Pete Tucker with thefightback.org as we continue with our May Day special. Walmart, the world's largest retailer, is attempting to enter urban markets, having already saturated many suburban and rural areas. D.C. and New York have taken different approaches in dealing with the company. In D.C., officials have rolled out the red carpet, and Walmart is moving forward with the construction of 6 stores. Presently, it has none. This is occurring despite the fact that city officials have not held a single public hearing or issued a substantive report on Walmart's potential impact. In New York, officials have taken a different approach. In a joint 2010 report, Hunter College and New York City public advocate Bill de Blasio noted that for every 2 jobs created by Walmart store openings, 3 local jobs are killed. The report concluded, it would be short-sighted to allow this destructive monopolist to enter the New York City market via the Trojan horse of job creation. A more recent report by the Office of Manhattan Borough President Scott Stringer took issue with Walmart's claim that it offered a solution to food deserts, which are areas where residents lack access to healthy, fresh food options. The Manhattan Borough President's report concluded, Walmart's entrance into the New York City market could severely undermine, if not reverse, the progress made by existing fresh produce initiatives. This level of scrutiny from New York City officials preceded the New York Times' recent report that Walmart paid Mexican officials more than $24 million in bribes and then attempted to cover it up, possibly violating the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. In the wake of the Times' exposé, Walmart has experienced some fallout. The Mexican government said it's investigating the bribery allegations, the company's stock has fallen 5%, and Monday, New York City's pension funds announced they would vote their 4.7 million company shares against 5 Walmart directors. Joining us now are 2 Walmart organizers. On the phone from New York is Maritza Silva Farrell, senior organizer with the Alliance for a Greater New York, or ALIGN, which is part of the Walmart Free New York City Coalition. And joining us in studio is Mike Wilson, an organizer with Respect DC. Welcome to both of you.
Hello.
Maritza Silva Farrell, let's begin with you in New York, where New York City officials are openly challenging Walmart's attempts to open stores, and this was even preceding the New York Times expose. Talk about some of the organizing you've done to make this happen.
Well, here in New York City, when we began hearing that Walmart is looking again to enter New York City, passing this past 2010, what we did, we actually started talking to elected officials about the possibility of a site specifically in East New York, and how the Walmart strategy is kind of changing a little bit when they're looking into other right locations, which means locations that are already zoned to be built. So we had the luck to have city council members basically to hold a couple of city council hearings to hear some of the comments on like the labor practices that Walmart had in other parts of the country, as well as the discrimination cases that had happened everywhere else, specifically with women. Those 2 public hearings were held early in 2011, and city council members wanted to hear specifically from Walmart, hear what they wanted to do here in New York City, what their plans look like, but given to the fact that they never show up to those hearings, it just began for many elected officials, maybe they're thinking of, like, why aren't they being clear about their plans, what they really wanted to do in the city. So we took that opportunity to educate some of our elected officials and set up meetings with them and have community members also speaking with them. And that was a big thing that we actually used and did at that time.
Maritza Silva Farrell is speaking with us from New York. She's an organizer with ALIGN. And speaking in studio is Mike Wilson, an organizer with Respect DC. Mike Wilson, how does this compare to what's happened in D.C.? In New York, you have city officials holding hearings as well as issuing significant reports, the public advocate as well as Manhattan Borough president. How's that compared to what's taken place in D.C.?
Thank you, Pete. Unfortunately, here in D.C., our elected officials have been much more on the side of Walmart. From the beginning, the ward council members who represent the areas where Walmart initially proposed their first 4 stores before coming with an additional 2 for the 6 that they're looking to build right now, have really been, not on the side of residents who have concerns, similar concerns to what folks have in New York about how the kind of jobs Walmart is planning to bring, their track record in other parts of the country as far as, you know, there's been numerous studies done as the ones you mentioned that were conducted around in New York City, but also, you know, about stores that Walmart has already opened in Chicago that show that Walmart costs 1.5 jobs for every job it brings because of the closure of other businesses, competing businesses in the area. We're especially concerned about, you know, union jobs like at Safeway and Giant here in D.C., and what would be lost if Walmart opens. Unfortunately for our elected officials, I think in D.C. they were much more short-sighted. They were looking at the idea that they could bring some quick employment gains, say that they were bringing 300 jobs, which is what Walmart has been promising for each of these stores, which is a claim we're skeptical about. Also that, you know, they would bring construction jobs, that they would bring development to some underserved areas, that they would bring fresh fruits and vegetables to underserved areas. But that just hasn't been the track record of what Walmart has done around the country or even in this region. You know, we've been trying to get our elected officials to look at some stores in the Maryland suburbs, and, you know, the lack of development that has happened, the closures of local businesses that have happened around stores when they've opened them in the suburbs here. And, you know, we've had conversations with even, you know, the deputy mayor here, Victor Hoskins, the deputy mayor for planning and economic development, who said that they just haven't looked at that stuff and they don't believe that what Walmart has proven their track record to be in other parts of the country will be what happens here. And it's been frustrating dealing with those folks. And, you know, I think that, you know, unfortunately, D.C. has had its issues with corruption and scandal in the past. And, you know, now with this reports coming out of Mexico about what Walmart's corporate culture seems to have allowed to take place there, you know, there are concerns and we want to see an investigation into what Walmart has done here locally. I know that there's already been some reporting around ties between David Wilmot, a Walmart lobbyist who was functioning as the attorney for Ward 7 Councilwoman Yvette Alexander's campaign during her reelection. He was functioning briefly as a fundraising chair for Ward 4 Councilwoman Muriel Bowser, both of whom had two Walmarts planned for their wards. And, you know, the Ward 5 council member Harry Thomas, who was in office when Walmart started coming, is now on his way to prison for stealing money through a children's charity. I mean, these are, you know, we don't have anything solid to go on for what has been happening in D.C., but we feel like there really needs to be a local investigation done before these stores are allowed to be built about what Walmart has been doing to sort of pave their way into D.C.
That's the voice of Mike Wilson, an organizer with Respect D.C. Maritza Silva-Farrell, what do you make of the latest allegations that the New York Times has documented in a series of pieces? It seems like almost every day you have another story that comes out.
Well, to be honest, I'm not really surprised. I mean, Walmart has been doing some sort of crazy negotiations everywhere in across the city, and sometimes, you know, we hear some elected officials from other parts of the country who talked about like some tax subsidies that they receive, you know, using some of the tax loopholes that we have. So this is really not surprising. But here in New York City, we actually, as you probably have seen some of the coverage, we had an opportunity to use this as a like proof that you know, Walmart is actually not showing their true colors, and they have not, and they will not. So we have to make sure that we hold the corporation accountable, and using some of the messages that we've been using for a long time, which basically is, you know, communities need to come together and make sure that we demand what we need. What we need in New York City are high road employment and corporations and companies that can actually do the right thing for each community. So we've been clear and at press events that we are saying no to Walmart until they do the right thing for the workers everywhere else in the country, which is really significant. So we've been working really hard on, you know, educating people, because sometimes, as clearly people think about like, oh, low prices, but now with this bribery scandal, people are like, oh, really, that's what they're doing? So it had helped us a little bit on our campaign on bringing our message back and see they don't do what they're saying, and they're never going to do it until we hold this corporation accountable. So it has been a really good time for us, and I think elected officials also have taken this very seriously, because here in New York City, we're a city that, you know, have specific values in terms of respecting union jobs, and I think Walmart probably at this point had received the message.
Mike Wilson, have you seen D.C. officials, as we listen to Maritza Silva-Farrell up in New York, have you seen D.C. officials being more willing to possibly investigate Walmart. I mean, up to this point, the last time I interviewed you was in a library where, as I understood it, a Walmart spokesperson, as well as one of the leading developers who's slated to build two of Walmart's six stores in D.C., were supposed to address the community, but they weren't there, so I just ended up interviewing you.
Right, yeah. I mean, that was another case of Walmart trying to duck the opposition that there is here in D.C. I think that, you know, about 3 weeks ago, it came out that Walmart was delaying its store openings here for a year until the end of 2013. You know, the reason given for that was opposition, and that they said that they wanted to spend more time building community support. I think it was a clear indicator that they don't have the support here in D.C. that they claim to. They've spent a long time, you know, and a lot of money, I think, trying to build up this idea that the stores here in D.C. are inevitable. And that they're going to be a good corporate citizen here, that they're not going to be the Walmart that we've seen in the past. I think that this, you know, this scandal shows that that's not true. Unfortunately, as I said, also a lot of our elected officials seem to have some pretty close ties to Walmart and their lobbyists, and also to some of the developers who are going to be bringing these stores to the city. And, you know, I think, again, you know, Ward 7 Councilman Eve Alexander, her last campaign finance report, a third of the money, and it came from A&R, the developer that's supposed to build one of the stores in her ward. And these are all things that are very concerning to us, but don't seem to be concerning to the council members themselves. When we, on Thursday, visited City Hall here in D.C. with about 40 community members and went, you know, to each council member's office delivering, you know, a copy of the New York Times article about the bribery scandal, in addition to demands around, you know, halting construction until a local investigation and a federal investigation are complete. And, you know, the few council members who we did see and talk to were staff, you know, in Councilwoman Alexander's office, for instance. You know, they just didn't seem to think it was important that this had happened in Mexico. And I think that D.C. residents feel differently, and we're going to continue to show them and, you know, use the store delay in addition to these recent, the coming out of these recent allegations to continue to build momentum to make sure that before Walmart does open any stores here in D.C., there is an enforceable citywide community benefits agreement that they've signed to make sure that they don't do here in D.C. what they've done in other parts of the country and the world.
As you mentioned, Mike Wilson, you were at the council last week and led a delegation, and you paid a visit to a number of council members, including at-large council member Phil Mendelson, who's known to be pro-union. I recorded the conversation you and Mackenzie Barris of Jobs with Justice had with council member Mendelson. It begins with you making the point that it's been difficult to get Walmart to sign community benefits agreements. Maybe we can turn to the clip of Mike Wilson and Mackenzie Barris speaking with council member Phil Mendelson at the D.C. Council last week.
We've had some trouble getting them to get
Well, I think that's because they've been off the hook on it. I mean, they've been allowed off the hook on that one. You know, I did two bills.
Yeah.
The other one was the community benefits agreement, which
right.
people like, but it's not a good bill.
Right.
Because it's not very strong. It has no teeth in it. I mean, you can't require somebody to sign an agreement that has terms.
Right.
I mean, they got to negotiate it, and they're never going to negotiate something decent. But the Large Retailer Accountability Act would require, if I remember correctly, it's a living wage, it's benefits, mm-hmm. both, or a collective bargaining agreement.
And I think it also would hold them to the first source hiring was the other piece that was in there.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, we are definitely, you know, supportive of that bill and would like your colleagues to get on board with you with it. Like I said, unfortunately, that hasn't happened yet, but we're going to keep the pressure on them. But we also, I mean, part of what we're asking for today, too, is to make sure that none of this construction moves forward until there's an investigation into what Walmart has been doing here when it
you
comes
realize
to
this. If they do stuff that's as of right,
right,
it's really hard to stop them.
Right.
If they comply with whatever the requirement is, they're entitled to it. So if they don't try to exceed the zoning, they're entitled to the zoning approval.
Is that like what came out in the paper that they've been doing in Mexico was sort of rushing through and expediting the process using bribery? Or, like, those are the allegations against them from former employees there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we're just saying, right, given that that has been that there are now all of these allegations that they have been getting their permits, right, and getting through these processes using shady means, that there should be some questions asked about how things are actually happening here as well, and there should be a halt
sure.
to moving forward until this stuff is resolved.
You can try it. You can argue it. I mean, that's not something that comes before the council. That's on the executive side, how they do their permitting.
And we are definitely visiting the mayor's office today as well.
Good.
But I think we also do want council members to be aware of what's going on. And also, you know, in New York City, I think they're talking about introducing a bill that would ban corporations who have violated the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act from doing business in New York City. I mean, I think that's another possibility to do here in D.C. But I do think that your, you know, the large retailer bill is another way that, you know, yeah, we can definitely
hold them accountable. As far as I know, Walmart's right now looking at going forward with one site.
Well, they're still looking at all six.
Yeah, I know. But they put like five of them off.
They put all of them off. They announced that they're not going to open any of them until the end of 2013. Yeah.
That's Mike Wilson and Mackenzie Barris of Jobs with Justice questioning at-large council member Phil Mendelson at the D.C. Council. We just have a couple minutes left, Mike Wilson and Maritza Silva-Ferro. Mike, the amount of money at the Mexican scandal is more than $24 million in bribes. Here, there's not bribes. We're talking about more than, in just one instance, the Walton Foundation, which gets its money from the Walmart fortune, puts out $25 million here in D.C. for a teacher's contract, which undermines teacher rights, $3 million for jobs training. In New York City, the New York Times reports that the Walton Foundation has given more than $13 million to nonprofits since 2007. But Mike Wilson, the amount of money that we're seeing Walmart throw around.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty incredible, the amounts. And, you know, I think that they spend a lot of money on lobbying both the federal government and here in D.C. directly. I think that, you know, it would be interesting to see where some of the money that these developers are getting to give to our council members is coming from ultimately. I know they've also given a lot of, you know, what are charitable contributions to churches here in D.C. and other organizations to try and, you know, get them to be on board with their plans for D.C.
Yep.
There have been some places that have rejected those offers of donations and said they don't want to, you know, they're not going to be bought off. But I think that there are lots of places that have accepted them as well. And, what's really the sad thing is, you know, you talk about, I mean, $3 million for job training is a lot of money, and hopefully it will help a lot of people here in D.C. But to a company that clears, you know, billions of dollars in profit every year, you know, $400 billion in revenue, $15 billion in profit, to a Walton family, you know, the six of them have more money than the bottom 30% of Americans combined, you know, $3 million isn't a lot. And, you know, we're kind of getting bought off cheap, I think, here in D.C. right now.
Maritza Silva-Ferro, we just have 30 seconds left. Your final thoughts.
Yes, well, on that thought, actually, Walmart obviously uses a lot of PR campaign to try to buy into our communities, and we obviously are learning that strategy that they're using, and by disclosing all of this through the media, it's key making sure people understand that the Walton family have the opportunity, they could do the right thing if they want to. Walmart could easily raise the salaries of its workers an average of 11% to $12 an hour, without any significant impact on its bottom line. It's very simple, and they just choose not to do it, and we have to make sure that we hold this corporation accountable in every way possible, and make sure also that developers who are negotiating with Walmart are also held accountable, because we have to make sure that our communities get the best deals, and especially when they receive any sort of like land transfers from the state or city, or if they receive any money from our communities. I think that's my two thoughts.
That's Maritza Silva-Ferro with Align in New York, and we're also joined by Respect DC organizer Mike Wilson. We're over time, Mike, but just quickly, in the New York Times this morning, read that Walmart has spent more than $7.8 million in federal lobbying using its own staff of in-house lobbyists, powerful Washington firms like Patton Boggs. Quickly, the importance of Patton Boggs in this picture.
Well, unfortunately, as I said, D.C. Council has had its history of corruption ethics scandals, and the latest ethics bill did not prohibit council members from having outside employment. And one of our council members, Ward 2's Jack Evans, works for Patton Boggs, collects a salary of close to $200,000 a year in addition to his council salary from there. And, you know, so to hear that Walmart is using them as a lobbying firm as well, you know, raises additional concerns about what's going on here in D.C.
That's Respect DC's Mike Wilson. We're going to take a news break. When we come back, we're talking education.